Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA Type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today, we have several guests with us to discuss this year's Cure SMA conference. This was the first year in 3 years it's been back in person due to the pandemic. And so we have several guests with us today, all of whom have been on the show before. So first we have Ryan Manriquez. Ryan is a student at UC Davis, lives in California. He's been on the show before. So welcome back, Ryan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And then from Idaho, we have Kyle Harris, who graduated last year from college, correct?
Yeah, that's right. From UCSD.
UCSD. Awesome. Back on the show as well. So Kyle, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And then also from California, we have with us Ashley Fox, who, and Ashley, where are you in school right now?
So I'm going into my last year at UC San Diego, so I graduate next year.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, welcome back to the show. So I'm excited to have all of you, all good friends here. We had a great time at the conference this year. So we'll be telling all those stories and then just kind of catching up and seeing where everyone is now and what we're doing. So, well, before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. Whether you are living with SMA or are the parent to a child with SMA, make a choice today that could impact your future. Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, Ryan, why don't we start with you? So if you can kind of just like reintroduce listeners to yourself and talk a little bit about what you're doing now, because I think last time you were on the podcast, you were in earlier in your college education. And so I know plenty has changed since then. So can you talk a little bit about where you are, what you're doing now?
Yeah, absolutely. So last time I was on the podcast, I was starting, I think I was in my first year of community college at Folsom Lake College. And fast forward to where I am now, I'm a fifth year transfer student at UC Davis, double majoring in political science and communication. I figured, you know, an extra year is worth an extra BA. So I think that would serve me well. And I actually recommend it to a lot of people as well. So when I came to Davis, I got super involved right away because I actually decided to move to Davis in the middle of the pandemic because it was safer in terms of COVID numbers than my own community back home. We had a state-of-the-art testing facility. I could literally get a PCR test every single day for free on campus if I wanted to. So that was a very big appeal as to why I moved. But it was still very isolating because not a lot of students were on campus or anything like that. So I was really looking for a community to get involved in. And being a political science major, I was interested in public service. So I decided on running for student senate here. And I got really, really involved attending so many meetings, forming so many relationships that, you know, 6 months or 7 months after I started being a senator, people came to me and wanted me to run for president. So the past year I've been serving as president for ASUCD, which stands for the Associate Students of UC Davis, not to bash on UC San Diego, but our associate students are really like, I'd say we're the most financially autonomous associate students in the entire UC system. We control a $17.7 million budget that's completely managed and voted on by students. And there's not really any admin say as to how we use that money, which can be kind of scary at times when there's just, you know, 20 and 21 year olds deciding on millions of dollars in student fees. But we use those for things like our bus system. We run the entire bus system for UC Davis and the city of Davis. It's a partnership, and all of the bus drivers are actually paid student employees, which is really, really cool to see a student drive a double decker bus that we got from London. So cool things like that is just the services that I've been involved in. And really the experiences of being a leader with a disability on our campus, meeting with the chancellor and meeting with other campus leaders like that, and really looking at problems through a disabled lens is probably not something that they've done in the past with other student leaders. So that's kind of where I am now. And I could probably talk about ASU City and my work In terms of student advocacy for hours, but I won't bore you all with that. But yeah, that's a little life update on me.
That's awesome. No, it's absolutely crucial to have, disabled students in student leadership and then in all aspects of the public sector. And I always say, well, also too, so you mentioned about like moving onto campus. Was that your first time away from home and managing caregivers full time? And how did that process go?
Yeah, it was my first time, moving away from home, managing caregivers by myself for the first time. And we really have a good system. My dad was really in charge of the first steps in terms of outreach on, care.com or through IHSS and things like that. And then we would interview them together. And then we kind of, I would move forward kind of, okay, like these are going to be the hours and things like that, and informing the different days and things. So it obviously was a learning curve, especially for a 20-year-old to manage three or four caregivers at a time on top of class, on top of student government. But now, it's a year later, 2 years later, I'm in the swing of things. It didn't even take that long. It probably took me less than a month to kind of figure out everything. But it was scary at first, but it's not something that is super difficult to manage.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Kyle, so since you've last been on the show, you graduated college, and can you talk also about what you're doing now, plans are, anything you want to discuss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. When we last met, I guess we were, that was like late 2019 when I had, or maybe yes. Early 2020, something like that. Yeah. So I was in my short 6 months at UCSD, at least in person, before COVID happened. And then, the rest was online. And so bye-bye real college experience, but whatever, is what it is. But so now I'm, I guess after I graduated, long story short, COVID started, I guess, going back. And I went up to Utah with my parents because, COVID, didn't really know what was going on, didn't think I wanted to stay in San Diego, et cetera. And then ultimately they moved to Idaho because that was kind of like their dream. So I went with them because I still didn't have a plan in place to get back to San Diego. And we're actually still there today. And it was kind of a series of events, especially around the time I graduated. On my way to the airport to fly to San Diego to go to my graduation, I was rear-ended by a distracted driver because the two-lane road, somebody was stopping in front of me and plowed right into me, injured my mom, injured me a little, but not as bad in the front driving. So yeah, so then that was a whole series of events. Took me like a year of fighting insurance, shippers like basically abandoning my van, shipping it to get hand controls and all sorts of stuff. And, so life's just been pretty crazy, And so I think, right now, I thought I would have had a job and would have been, in my career living in San Diego, but, life just doesn't always go that way. And, I'm definitely getting closer, and I'm hopeful that, by this fall, I'll be in a job and, hopefully even move back to San Diego or wherever I need to be.
Sure. It just goes to show you, I mean, like life with SMA and just life in general, there's always curveballs and it's very unpredictable, but no, we definitely wish you the best. Hopefully things will be looking up for you soon, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah. It's just, now that I'm kind of like getting past things, it's just about, just cranking out job applications now and just improving and, tinkering and yeah.
And Kyle, what was your degree in?
So my degree was in cognitive science, specializing in design and interaction. And since nobody knows what that is, that's basically a fancy way of saying I design apps, and essentially it's more focused on usability and ease of use. And even for someone with a disability, it's, accessibility is something I'm interested in. And so with that, I hope to really just design products that are functional and easy to use for people of differing abilities, needs, et cetera.
That's awesome. I mean, definitely plenty of opportunities for that. So that's really cool. And then Ashley, your life has also changed a lot since last we talked, because I think I met the three of you at the 2019 conference. So I think all of you were on the podcast around the same time. But I think the last time you were on, you were still in community college. And since then, you transferred. And I know you've moved out, also managing caregivers on your own. And so can you talk about all of that and where you are now?
Yeah, I'd love to. So we touched base last in early 2020. So I was still in the midst of community and college, and I still had one more year afterwards. I ended up transferring down to UC San Diego last September. So this past year has been the first year ever that I've been entirely on my own, entirely managing everything by myself, which before I moved, it was the most anxiety-inducing thought because it was very intimidating. And I was already managing my medical care, but from a caregiving aspect, that was a whole new realm. So I ended up moving down to UC San Diego. I had a team of caregivers. Of course, there were some flaws and things ended up happening. And it got to a point where I was actually in survival mode every single day, where I was just trying to figure out who was coming in, who was going to help me go to bed, who was going to help me get out of bed. And I'm doing all of this as I'm taking roughly 16 units a quarter. So there was definitely a lot going on. But I'm majoring in psychology with a specialization in human health. So essentially I'm focusing on the role your mind and mental health play on your physical health. And during the midst of this, I was the perfect case, the perfect evidence of how your mental health affects your physical health, because of how much stress was going on. But I made it through the entire year. I did it with getting over 3.5 each quarter and making provost honors. So it was a lot, but it was so, so worth it. And I'm excited to go back next year.
That's awesome. And like, talking about the anxiety of like making, I think that's the hardest part, is just making that first step and doing it initially. But like, what kind of, were there anything that really kept you going on the really hard days, whether it was like a caregiver not working out, or, you know, overwhelmed with school stuff, managing all that? What kind of helped you power you through and, you know, get through the semester and get through each day?
So that's a really good question. And as cliche as it sounds, my friends. So I have a really, really good group of friends, both at school and at home, that when things hit the fan and it was chaos and it was just rough, I could text them. And they'd sit me down, they'd let me freak out, and then they'd go, okay, what's the plan? And you're like, okay, game time. So they'd help me develop a plan. My friends down at school, if I was stuck in an emergency, they'd come in and help out if I really needed it. I had a friend up in Riverside who, she ended up driving down a couple times to bail me out, which was really great, and I appreciate her all the time for it. But as cliche as it is, I found my found family, and they are the biggest supporters when it comes to all of this.
Well, it's one of the things I think it's very common in the SMA community. I like our friend Amber Boselman, like, talked about this one time on a panel where she's like, you have your caregivers and then you have your army of unpaid caregivers who, exactly like you said, will drop at a moment's notice and come to your rescue when you need it. So I think that's really, it's not cliche at all. It's very pertinent advice for others in disability communities, where it inevitably there will be times where, if, especially if you're living independently, you know, a caregiver won't show up. You have to have backup plan. The bigger and more devoted a community you have, I think the better. So it's definitely advice that has suited me well and many others in the community. So absolutely.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in and say I definitely vibe with that. And like, my situation at UC San Diego was, obviously, like, we have different abilities and different types of SMA, et cetera. But like, in some sense, you know, like, there were days where it's just like, man, what am I doing here? You know, like, it's just, it's so freaking exhausting, just like, just doing so much, you know. And, you know, even having like, know, even my roommates, because all my roommates were phenomenal, you know, like if I needed something, like, hey, could you grab this for me, or could you open this for me, whatever, like they were always willing to, you know, help with that. And so I think it's like, you know, having that community who's willing to support you is key. And I'm glad Ashley was able to find that and have that.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for, you know, giving updates, and we will talk about the conference in just a minute. Before we do, if everyone could please listen to one more brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by Genentech, the makers of a treatment for SMA. If you are living with SMA, the subtle changes that happen from one day to the next can be hard to notice until a key function is lost. Many people find that these changes can impact their life, not just physically, but also emotionally. Since the progression of SMA is relentless, taking action now is important. If you've waited to go on treatment or were told there were no treatments for you, now might be the time to talk to your doctor. Breakthroughs in science have led to more options than ever before in treatment and care. Choosing a disease-modifying treatment can make a difference. Why wait? Visit treatmysma.com to see why treatment matters.
Okay, so let's get into this year's Cure SMA conference. Or we are in a group chat on Instagram titled Conference Chaos, which I think is very appropriate because for anyone listening, you know, for the conference has the guise of a medical event, but all the adults know it's a chance to party. But seriously though, it was really great being back in person this year. So I just kind of want to discuss with you all what were your highlights. So first of all, Ryan, we'll start with you. So this was your, because the 2019 one was your first conference, right? Correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so can you talk about that? And then obviously there was the 3-year gap because of the pandemic. And so can you talk about just either any highlights from the conference this year and how it, like, especially comparing it to your first experience and just anything you want to share about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is really the community that it brings. I like how you said, you know, it has the disguise of being a medical conference. And obviously, like, that's what my dad said to his work, like, oh, I'm going to a medical conference this weekend, right? But it's way more than that. It's really a community building conference that you get to see all of your friends from around the country that, you know, A, you either have never met before or you only know over Instagram, right? Or things like that. Like I know Mikey from New Jersey, right? And Noel from New Jersey. Like I knew them over Instagram, but I didn't know them, you know, in person yet. I never gotten the chance to meet them. So being able to see so many familiar faces in person and then really discovering kind of how you interact with them and like the things that you really love about interacting with other people from your community. I actually have an experience. So Abby Quinn from North Carolina, you know, so we're really good friends, and like she is the only person that I know, like, who automatically knows when I need help with like my arm and in a certain way, because she's had that experience before, right? So she would just grab my arm and help me move it without me even asking, right? And I know that's like, I know some people don't like to be touched like without them asking, but like, for me, it was really eye-opening because it's like, okay, someone else with my same disease knows what I need, right? So that was really an amazing experience from the conference, is being able to be around so many people like me that you just never get to have that in your everyday life. Additionally, I think it was really fascinating sitting through the farewell, or maybe it was the welcome. I think it was the welcome kind of presentation by Kenneth Hobby, where they're going through kind of all the data and the statistics around SMA. And the one that I really, like, it really stood out to me was that hospitalizations with SMA individuals who have 3 SMN2 copies, that rate is down 90%. Like, it went from 1 hospitalization a year to 0.1 hospitalizations a year. And that was like, blew me away. I was like, oh my goodness, how is that even possible? It's because so many people are on treatment, like 70% of all people with SMA are on treatment. So, you know, I really get fascinated and blown away behind the good statistics, because I think all, or at least most of our lives, we've been told the bad statistics with SMA, right? So hearing the good statistics now with, you know, evolving treatments and care is really, really amazing.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because I was at the welcome session as well, and that stat really blew me away. I mean, I knew there had been a decrease. I didn't know it was that high. And so it's, once you do kind of like really sit down and look at the way, you know, the community and just like access to resources and treatment stuff have changed drastically over the past few years, it really is remarkable. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And you know, I know that from personal experience as well, because I remember before I started treatment, I would get pneumonia and be in the hospital, you know, once a year for a 3-day period. And I haven't been in the hospital for like ever, right? I think I only get sick maybe once every 2 years or 1.5 years, right? So I you know, it's really fascinating how that stuff works.
That's huge. Absolutely. And then Kyle, what about you? So same kind of question, like, talk about any highlights from the conference this year. And also, 2019 was your first one as well, correct?
Yeah, that's right. 2019 was my first conference. I think it just gets better and better as you go to each one, you know, and as this conference grows and our community grows, like you just, yeah, I mean, I think this thing's already huge, but like, you know, I think in the future, like, you know, I think I joked with you, Kevin, I was like, dude, eventually, like, we won't even be able to take a group picture in front of the castle. There's just going to be so many of us that, like, they won't even be able to pull it off, like, you know, at the castle of Disneyland. But this year's conference was, I mean, amazing. You know, this is the first one I flew down for, because, well, 2019, I was living in San Diego, so I could just drive an hour and a half and be there. But since I'm in North Idaho at the moment, that's a 24-hour drive, and I'm not going to do that, so I had to fly, which I've done cross-country trips like that myself before, flying, and you know, I think I'm kind of insane doing that with SMA, because I don't really have caregivers or anything. You know, I have type 3, and so I can do a lot of things on my own, but you know, it was so worth it, even if it was completely exhausting. Like, I think most nights I maybe got like 5 or 6 hours of sleep, because it's like, you're just amped up. Like, you just go to sleep, and then before you know it, you're like up at 10, even though you stayed up till like, you know, 4 in the morning or something. So, but yeah, I think it was amazing, you know, connecting with so many people, you know, meeting new people that I didn't even really, even on social media, I haven't connected with. And you know, some of them, I mean, have become like good friends of mine in the matter of a few days, that like we like talk now like all the time. And so it's, you know, and I think it's being around people, other people in the community, gives you also kind of a diverse perspective, in that you're able to see different experiences with SMA. And it actually kind of helps me with some of my blind spots, because, you know, I don't obviously don't have it all together, but you know, just having like new good friends with SMA, it's like you can point out some blind spots, like, hey man, this is this, like, you know, and it's like, really, like, I didn't think about this, you know. I'm being super vague here, but like, just interpersonally, I think just like I feel, you know, fulfilled a lot more being around this kind of a community. So, and sure. Then also, so no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and I just wanted to say, on the research side of things, I didn't so much the research, but just like, I, you know, there's the whole, the gene therapy, I forgot what it's called, from,
Zolgensma.
Yeah, Zolgensma. I actually met a family with a baby who had received Zolgensma, and I had never seen, you know, I had never seen a baby that had received Zolgensma. And I believe it was, I think the kid was probably, I don't know, 18 months old or so, maybe 2 years. I don't remember, something like that. But it just blew my mind that this kid was there, like, you know, kicking, like, you know, moving around like a, you know, almost like an able-bodied baby, you know. And it's just like, you know, I just about teared up right there, just because it's like, you know, it blew my mind that, you know, just a few years ago, SMA type 1, like, there was, the milestones weren't there, and now like they're almost, or even meeting these, you know, key childhood milestones, and like just the future just looks so bright, you know, that there's just going to be, you know, so much less suffering, I think, and just, you know, good things for the SMA community, especially those with earlier onset.
Oh, absolutely. It really is. You just see how much progress there's been made on the research front. And yeah, you and at conferences, you really get to see that in person. And with younger people in the community and older, and it's really cool to see. And for our listeners, what Kyle was talking about earlier with the Disneyland pick. So like on the last night of the conference, when it's in Disneyland or Disney World, we all get in front of the castle and take a big picture there. And I don't even know how they fit everyone this year into one, because when I was a kid and, you know, there was only a few hundred people, this was way more manageable. But now with 2000 plus, like, it was kind of amazing they got into one. And yeah, if it keeps getting bigger, we'll have to do like two photos at least to get everyone in there. It's crazy. But that was really cool. So, and then Ashley, what about you? So also talking about this year in relation to your first conference and just any highlights from this year you want to share.
Yeah, for sure. So 2019 was not my first conference, but it was my first conference as an adult where I kind of had control over what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. But also 2019 was very different in the sense that I spent majority of the weekend running around trying to ask people who were on SpinRaza their experiences and if it was worth it, because in October of 2019, I went in to have the Omaya reservoir surgically inserted due to the fact I can't receive lumbar punctures. So I was freaking out wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I having surgery for the right reason? Am I putting myself through all of this for a good outcome? So I was just kind of networking and getting experiences. But this year, it was the first time I was in a disabled room. It was the first time I was in a room with disabled individuals for the first time in 3 years. So it was just really refreshing and liberating and comforting. I didn't necessarily have an agenda. I was just going with the flow, hanging out with people, going to certain seminars, just it was very relaxed compared to 2019. And I think that's why it was so special, because the first day you show up and you're like, oh, we're going to hang out with everyone. And the next thing you know, there are 20 of you in wheelchairs descending onto downtown Disney and probably concerning every non-disabled person there. But it was really nice being in a room with so many people I'd met in 2019 and so many people that I hadn't met, but was looking forward to meeting in person and hanging out and talking to them. I came home and immediately started bragging about stories from the various days to my non-disabled friends from back home. And they're kind of, one of my friends looked at me and he was like, so it's chaos. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, it's one giant party. And I go, yeah. And she goes, did you learn anything? And I go, yes. I learned that we're pretty freaking cool and we know how to have fun.
I love it. And it's absolutely a weekend long adrenaline rush. But I like how you answered that, because and that brings me to my next question of like any workshops you guys attended or any takeaways like from an educational standpoint. And this doesn't have to be research related, but I know I went to several workshops that were not like research oriented, but more, one on like dating relationships, one on from Amber about being a disability life coach and things like that. So were there any takeaways, this goes to any of you, any workshops you attended, anything like that, where something stuck out to you?
I actually attended a session I probably wasn't supposed to be on, but I asked the leader and she said it was okay. So I went to the Teen on Wheels event because I felt like when I attended that one 3 years ago, I didn't really have someone that was directly like out of the teen world and into college. So I asked Angela Rigglesworth, who's like my SMA mom, right? I love her.
She's all of our SMA mom. She's definitely SMA mom with me. Yeah.
I asked her, I was like, hey, would it be okay if like any teens had questions directly about college? Like, not that you don't have that experience, but like right now, like in the moment, like, okay, what services do you need to get on and things like that. Just like, oh yeah, of course, right? So of course you said that. And I was able to, you know, help a couple parents that were wondering, like, hey, like my teen, like their school start time is like 7:25, and I'm like, yep, I've been there, it's rough. So, you know, being able to offer like help and guidance is like the biggest, like being of service is the biggest takeaway that I had. But then there were also really other great workshops that I attended, like the aquatic therapy one, right? Like I don't usually do aquatic therapy unless it's in my hot tub, because I just like sitting in the hot tub. But, you know, that was a really cool experience to work out in the pool. Like I started working out and I was like, my God, I gotta get in shape. I'm like really burnt out from like, you know, 5 minutes of exercise. So it made me think about getting more active and things like that. So I liked those workshops a lot.
I need to go to that one at some point. I do aquatic therapy regularly, so that's why I haven't really gone to those. And I couldn't get into the pool this year because like I just had my parents with me and they can't do transfers like that. And so, but that's one of the cool things that I'm always curious to see, like the techniques they show there, how they compare to the ones I do with my physical therapist. And it's always really cool being in the community. You can share ideas that way.
Yeah. And Kevin, you should have came down, because my dad is like 6'6" and he was getting everyone in the pool.
Okay. I'll make it happen next time then.
I just wanted to say, like, yeah, I definitely wish I would have made that one. That was one of the ones I was looking at, because, you know, I swim pretty regularly in the summer because we have a community pool up here that's actually free. It's outdoor. But since North Idaho gets lots of snow and cold, it's only a few months out of the year. But, you know, I think that would have been something I wish I would have attended, and maybe I will next time, just because, you know, I think, while I do have a good routine and I kind of do laps, I think I also maybe kind of don't have the best form, or I overdo it a lot, you know? So, yeah.
There's so much. And Ryan, I'm glad you said that about your dad, because that's the other thing that's cool about conferences, is like when you're in the community and like, it's not awkward to ask for help from other people's parents or caregivers, because we're all in that boat together. And so like, for me, it was, my wheelchair battery died in the middle of the parks on the last night. And I was with a group of guys, and my friend Tyler, who's been on the podcast before, he was with his best friends who have pushed him around plenty of times. And so that's what his best friend Eli just pushed me around to the park the rest of the night. And it was no problem. And like, you don't have to feel awkward there, because they're like, oh no, I got you, man. You know, what's really cool.
Well, Ashley's friend was helping everyone, you know, take off their shirts at the pool so we could all get a tan. So she was like five of our, you know, of our caregivers. Like, she was a caregiver for like, that's six awesome people. It was great.
That's she awesome was amazing. We kind of came up with this plan just for the two of us to go in the like March or February. And then it's funny, the week before the conference, we were on FaceTime, and she goes, are your friends gonna like me? Like, are they gonna like me? Are we all gonna get along? Do I need to filter myself? Like, and I'm like, you're overthinking this. And then next thing we know, the conference hits, and she's helping everyone and bonding with everyone, and people even call her mom now. So we got home, and I'm like, hey Jay. And she goes, what? I'm like, safe to say my friends love you. She goes, yeah.
I love it. That's so great. You know, and it's just, you know, I mean, I think caregivers find just as much community as us when they get, because like, it's what's really cool to see as well. I mean, my caregiver has been to a bunch, and my parents, my brother and sister-in-law were there with me this year. And then, and I got to know other friends' caregivers this year. It was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Well, guys, oh, go ahead.
It's awesome that, you know, we all get to, you know, everyone's willing to help everyone, like in 2019, since we could actually get on rides then, because this year the rides were completely crowded out.
There were a lot, and there were a lot of breakdowns this year too. It's crazy.
Yeah. I had some folks that are good friends that actually were able to help me on and off the rides. And they totally didn't have to, because, like, you know, I'm like 6'2", you know, I'm a big guy. So like, it's obviously hard, but they were willing to, you know, no sweat. So I love the community that's just willing to support each other in whatever way they can. I remember Mikey Hazel, his battery was actually dying, I think, like the first night. And I had like just met him, like, no. And they're like a Grand Californian, which is like probably like, I don't know, half a mile to three quarters of a mile from the main hotel. And his battery was dying. So like I was going back with him, make sure he got back. And like there was a couple of ramps, you know, that had a slope you had to go up. And his chair wasn't making it. So I actually just put my foot plate into the back of his chair and started pushing him just to get him up the ramp. So it was, you know, we worked together and it's, you know, I just love making memories and stories like that.
How many SMAers does it take to make sure we all get home safely? That is the running joke that I'm seeing.
As many as it takes, and we'll get each other home, you know, but that was definitely a comment. The battery's dying, you know, chairs damaged by flights, of course, that's always happens, but it's the really cool thing is once we're all together, we're very adaptable, like in our own personal lives and we're on our own. So when we come together, we have more resources and we can put our heads together. And yeah, that's what's great about conference. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for being on today. And is there any other like either advice you want to share with people or any closing message to either anyone who hasn't been to a conference before or just looking for ways to get involved into the SMA community as a whole?
I mean, if you're an adult with SMA, there's little to no reason why you shouldn't be at the conference. The adult with SMA scholarship that's available if you register early enough. I mean, they pay for your travel, your hotel, right at the park, and your registration. So I encourage like every adult with SMA to get registered super super early and take full advantage of that scholarship. But yeah, no, it grows every single year, and the community and the friends that you build at these conferences are really unbreakable, and you'll know them for life. So yeah, I highly encourage going, and we'll see you next year, hopefully in Orlando.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say get connected with Cure SMA and people. Not even just Cure SMA, but you know, groups online. There's all sorts of ones like the SMA support system on Facebook. There's also Living with MD, which is a bunch of it's a bunch of types of muscular dystrophy typed diseases in communities like that. Yeah, like Ryan said, go to the conference, and if you get connected with Cure SMA, they also have local events like Summits of Strength and things like that. And so I think if you get kind of plugged in, like I wasn't really plugged in before 2019, like you'll be amazed like just like how much you've been missing, you know, and just to have that community and that support system is just, you know, it's huge.
Yeah, I just want to add on to that too. The conference, at least go once. Make it a life goal to at least go once. I mean, it's hard to go every single year, especially consecutive years, but it's just so much fun. And for me personally, I'm able to be 100% comfortable in my own skin because, again, I'm surrounded by fellow peers who just get it. So I definitely recommend that. If you can't, social media is your best friend. It is your lifeline when it comes to networking with your fellow disabled peers, gaining insight, learning about research. So just using like Instagram or Facebook to your advantage in order to connect, I highly recommend that as well.
It's a great point. Absolutely. Well, Ryan, Kyle, Ashley, thanks so much for coming on today. This is a blast, and I'll definitely see you all in Orlando next year, but we'll talk plenty before then. But I will drop your Instagram handles in the description. And yes, listeners, go follow them. And for our listeners, you can hear more conversations and stories like this by subscribing to the SMA News Today podcast. You can also follow us directly on our main website and on our forums, all at smanewstoday.com. for the latest SMA news and perspectives. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com. and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.